Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this marvelous, wonderful evening. We thank God for this February the 18th, 2013. We are here once again, gathered together, thanking God for the opportunity to come learn a little bit more about what He desires for us to hear concerning this wonderful thing we call marriage, and in particular, oneness in marriage. And I thank God as always for the privilege and the opportunity to impart into your lives tonight. We welcome you. I'm Tammy Storr. We'll be joined by my lovely husband, Brother Jesse Storr. And I just thank God as always that He gave us an opportunity just recently on last Thursday to be able to express and show our love one to another just in a day set aside that society sets aside for us to express our love one to another. And I just thank God for the opportunity that He gives each and every one of us every day that we wake up, being grateful and thankful to Him above all for another day for us to have to love on each other as spouses or as individuals that God has brought together that may be engaged right now, looking forward to the day that they're united as one. We can never tell each other enough how much we love and appreciate them. We can never thank God enough for our spouse, our significant other. And so I just thank God once again for every day that He gives me to be here, a part of those that He has left here on this earth. And I know it's a privilege and an honor. I see it as that. And I thank God for every opportunity He gives us to impart into lives that He brings us in front of. So I thank God publicly to each and every one of you for my lovely husband. I thank God for Brother Jesse Storr that He has blessed me with a man of God. He has blessed me with a man of honor. And I thank God for every day that He gives us together to be able to express our love one to another. And I'm just encouraging all of you, if you have not had an opportunity to say I love you to your spouse, I encourage you to take that time now and let them know how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. We just can't take it for granted. And I tell you, this world is so cold and cruel at times, and we get beat up everywhere we go, sometimes just even in the grocery store line, and sometimes just walking down the street, we get sometimes ugly looks, and we don't understand what someone else is going through. We don't understand sometimes what may be going through the minds of individuals that have gone through a few things in their life. And I know last week we had an opportunity to hear a group of men speak on our Blog Talk Radio show on that postpartum depression once they've come back from war. And not only just war, but there's other situations. So many women that go through it after they have the birth of their children, and it's just things that with hormones that are going crazy. And we don't understand sometimes what individuals are going through. And sometimes we need to take time and just evaluate an individual as we look at them and see their responses to see what we can do as individuals to help them. And I learned so much last week from these powerful, God-fearing men of God that God brought our way to share with us, because trust me, there's someone in our lives, if we look hard enough, whether it's a brother, whether it's a sister, whether it's a father, whether it's a mother, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker that may be going through some of these same challenges that we heard about on last week, we have a responsibility as a child of God, as an individual that we consider ourselves ambassadors to Christ. And we have a responsibility to go and speak to these individuals. As we know, we've heard so many times over and over again how Brother Jeff Pitts always puts himself out there to minister to so many. God has blessed him, brought him through a life that so many of us probably wouldn't have made it through. I know there's a Brother Gerald Meade that has gone through some things in his life that can share. And I know all of us have our own personal stories, and I don't know why God is leading me this way right now, but I know there was a young lady that we keep seeing on the news, and Mindy McCready, that was a country singer, that her life was just so torn up that there were several suicide attempts, and last night she succeeded in taking her life, and we don't know what her life was all about. We know some of the struggles through the media now that they're talking about it after the fact. We know that there's so many that have taken lives of other individuals whom we thought relationships were strong. I think even of Oscar Pistorius, that we know this young man as the Blade Runner in the Olympics that we all had our eyes tuned to the television station, looking at him and just thinking, God, that there was no limit, that he did not use his handicap to keep him from doing something that he loved. But now we see that there were some things going on in his mind that caused him to do the thing that they say he has done, that he has been charged with the murder of his girlfriend. We need to pray more today than ever before. Sometimes just looking at the outside of someone is not enough. But I encourage you to look deep down inside someone and get to know who they are. And I encourage you to take time to pray with them and let them know that they're not by themselves. Let them know that God is there and willing, capable, and able to help them get through whatever they're going through. And I say to you, my brothers and my sisters tonight, be bold for Christ. Speak life into situations that God allows you to come in contact with. You're not there by coincidence. You're not there by accident. But you're there for God needs you for such a time as that he uses you as his angels to go and share love with another brother or sister. And so I'm thanking God in advance for each and every one of you under the sound of my voice, that you will take this charge tonight, look into the lives of others that you come in contact with, and see nothing but good in them. And when you see anything that's disturbing, bring it out, and let's be able to talk about it and pray about it and be able to understand the power of prayer. And I thank God as we think about the power of prayer that every day before we go and do anything, we always have to welcome in and usher in the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without the Spirit of the Lord leading us. And so, Holy Spirit, as we come together tonight, as I come in agreement with these powerful men and women that are on the line with us tonight, you said in your word, where two or more are gathered together, and we call upon your name, that you would surely be in the midst, and not only in the midst, but you would hear our cries out to you in heaven, and you would allow to enter into earth and accomplish what we're praying for it to do. So as we come together in oneness in our opening prayer, I ask that you pray with me and for me and for our Blog Talk Radio show tonight, that God will allow every spoken word that flows not only from Brother Jesse's voice, my voice, or our listening audience, that God will allow us to share in transparency. He will allow a brother or sister to come and be able to learn and take away from this evening words of wisdom that they can use and apply for their daily lives from this day forward. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before your throne of mercy, always as humbly as I know how, thanking you for life and life more abundantly, thanking you for the opportunity you've given me to impart into the lives of your people. I don't know, Lord God, why I went that way, but you know there's someone on the other line that needed to hear those words from you, Lord. I thank you for the willingness in my spirit to hear from you, to share with another brother or sister. Tonight, Lord God, I thank you for every soul that's represented on our line. I pray for them tonight, Lord God. Whatever it is that they stand in need of, Lord, I pray that you would minister to their hearts, to their spirits, and you would supply their every need. Father God, I thank you for every opportunity you give us to usher in your spirit, to go and be with us, to guide every word that is spoken from our mouth. I thank you, Father, that you would give us all the ability to recognize, know, and understand who you are in us, so that we don't operate in fear. Oh, we come against fear right now. And we thank you, Lord God, for the power, love, and the sound mind that you would give us to push forward into this world, doing the things that you have ordained for us to do for such a time as this. We know this world, Father God, is in a bad place, but we know, Lord God, that you can turn it around in an instant. You can change, Father God, the mindsets of so many that are without peace tonight. And you can turn it around where they are able to grasp and hold on to the peace that surpasses all understanding that you give to us freely. You have the ability, Lord God, to go and mend relationships back together that for one reason or another have been torn apart. We come against, Father God, lack of communication, but we welcome great communication between husband and wife, between parents and children, between co-worker to co-worker. We thank you, Lord God, that we all recognize how important communication is in everything we do. We thank you, Lord God, that we will see life that you have given us and that we will see it as a gift from you. And as you've given us gifts, Father God, it's better to give than to receive. Let us give back that same gift that you've given us, and that's the gift of love to share with another brother or sister. No matter what's going on in our lives, Lord God, let us rebuke Satan at all costs and at all times. We know he's only here to steal, kill, and destroy everything, Lord God, that you're putting together. But we serve an awesome God. We serve a force that can go out and fight any battle that is brought our way through Satan. And I thank you, Father God, for allowing it to be in our spirits and our minds and our hearts and our souls that there's nothing impossible for you, Lord God, once we ask first, Father God, of whatever it is we need in your Son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fall short, Lord God. We have not because we ask not. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the opportunity just to commune with you on a daily basis. We thank you for the opportunity to intercede for those that are standing in need of a touch from you today. We thank you for the opportunity to pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Father, that we know, Father, that we all are in need of a special prayer request from you, Lord God. And I thank you today that you would continue to allow us all to be able to use our blood-borne right and be able to go before your throne, Lord God, and pray for situations and pray for people and help them get through whatever it is that's bogging them down right now, Lord God. Give us the ability, Father God, to understand and know our merits here on this earth. Give us, Father God, and equip us with every necessary tool we need to go out there and fight against the forces of the evil one, to be able to go and stand bold and strong for your word, Lord God. Let us, Father God, work together in oneness, and let us be able to come together and understand who you are, Father God. I thank you for allowing us to represent you more by studying your word, meditating on it day and night, understanding, Lord God, that it's nothing that we've done, but it's all that you do with us and for us and through us. And that's why every day, Lord God, we have to put on your full armor. We have to be able to know that it's because of the full armor that we put on from you that we're able to withstand the wiles of the devil, whether it be in our marriages, our children, our workplaces, our finances, our sexual life, our sexual relationships with our spouse, or whether it be, Father God, even sometimes in our church houses where there's sometimes confusion shows its ugly face, and we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. But, Lord God, we thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy that will be with us forever. As always, Lord God, as the word comes forward on this night, I thank you for what our brother has in store for each and every one of us. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you will be his mouthpiece. And I pray your strength in him. And where he may be weak or where he may be a little tired, Lord God, I ask that you energize his body in a mighty way. I pray, Father God, that you give us all the strength and the ability to always be able to fight through whatever it is that may be trying to attack our body, but to let us stand bold and strong on your word, knowing, Lord God, that you will give us enough energy to do what we need to do. You will allow us, Father God, to be able to have, Father God, everything that our heart desires if we go and work hard for it. So I thank you for this evening, for the time that you've allowed our brother to meditate in your word and be able to get into, Lord God, your space to find out what you desire for him to speak on tonight. And I thank you that it's a word in season for so many that have come and prepared themselves to hear a word from you. Thank you, Lord God, that it will be brought through with simplicity and understanding. We will be able to apply it to our daily lives. I love you, Lord God, and I thank you for this privilege and this opportunity to utilize the vocal cords that you have given me, and I will always use it to continue to upbuild and uplift your kingdom. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, let the church say amen. Good evening. We praise God tonight for my queen. We praise God for all of you that have dialed in. We praise God for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank God so very much for what he continues to do in each and every one of our lives. And when we have an opportunity each and every day to get it right one more time, or at least make the attempt to get it right, we thank God in so many ways, because when we think about our lives, oftentimes we know that we never would have made it if it had not been for the mighty blessings of our Father God. If we didn't have somebody praying in the gap for us as we went through the trials and tribulations of life. We thank God. You know, my heart is kind of grieved this evening as we continue to see the evidence of what's taking place in our world all around us. As we was started off, as Tammy was sharing, how so many seem to be falling prey to the wiles of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. When we hear of high-profile individuals taking the lives of others, and we begin to see just how out of touch with reality people seem to be these days. This apparent suicide of this singer, you know, the apparent murder by, you know, the Blade Runner. I mean, you know, we hear about murders and we hear about things every day. Those of us that have some connection to inner cities and urban areas, we know these things happen in Chicago, 40 murders in the month of January alone. We know all around us we are in a world where it seems to be more and more rampant. One thing we've got to keep in mind is that we also live in a world today where now more than ever there is such ease and access to information, to things that somebody may have said or something someone may have been involved in. And sometimes we have to ask the question, is it because there's more of this type of activity taking place, or is it simply because there's such a much greater access to information? a greater access to the speed of transforming and translating that information. I can remember growing up, it seemed like there's always been some kind of entertainer that was taking their lives or you know, due to drug overdose, due to some kind of self-induced violence, but it seems to be very prevalent. And so, you know, these days sometimes we forget about, you know, the Jimi Hendrix and the Janis Joplin, and even when we were growing up back in the 60s and 70s, you know, people that were, you know, the Belucci's. I mean, there are numbers that don't even come to my mind at this moment, but there have always seemed to be those that either die suddenly or die unexpectedly via murder that may have been perpetrated by another or by themselves. And see, all of that we believe is part of the assimilation of this world and our society and what's taking place and what was prophesied that would take place. When we began to look at the Word of God and we listened to the words of Jesus himself, he described a place such as this. He described a time such as this. And we have to know and understand that it shouldn't always take us by surprise. That when we look at Scripture, you know, Jesus talked about these things. And he gave us an ideal of these things in that 24th chapter of Matthew. And he said that these things had to happen. And when it said in Matthew 24:3, he said on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See not that you be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver to you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Now, people will argue and say that many of the things that have taken place already in the world would say that prophecy already manifested. Others would say that we seem to be in a time right now today where we see more and more of that particular scripture being manifested in our present. But see, when we go back and we begin to analyze and look at wars that have taken place around the globe, we find some very interesting situations. We find, for example, when you look at the country of England, you know, when you look at that particular country in and of itself, is that it has invaded, it's kind of crazy to believe this, but it has invaded, depending on who you listen to, 80 to 90% of the countries that have been invaded, they were by that particular nation. And when you look at even our own country, the number of countries that have been affected by the United States is a staggering figure. And, you know, if you want to go and look at either one of those particular data points, just go and get on your favorite search engine and begin to just put in particular words and then try to find what they call peer-reviewed articles, which is based on research and empirical evidence and data to see what's been going on. And all of this, I believe, all of this is all part of the attempt, the spiritual wickedness in high places by Satan to cause man to assimilate and to cause man to begin to come together, to be willing to submit to the rule of Satan. When we look at the concept, when we look at the whole definition of assimilation, you know, assimilation itself is a process. You know, it's something where you incorporate the conversion of elements, of nutrients, that will allow something to come together and become one, where you can change the particular habits and the particular culture and the particular uniqueness of a people or of any situation, and have them begin to think like and to act like whatever the required level of conformity may be. And it's when you look at it from a verb standpoint, it's to take in information's ideal and to understand more fully, to be absorbed and to integrate into a wider society or culture. And then when we think about this particular nation in and of itself, there's been two particular realities that have taken place. We've had those that speak of assimilation, where they assimilate and become part of the American family. And there are two broad pathways in this particular pursuit. Of course, one is assimilation and the other is pluralism. Now, pluralism is a situation to where particular groups will maintain something about their original culture, their original personality, those things that made them who they are. And when we look at this nation, our nation, and we begin to look at from where do we come from and how do we get here and what was our motivation for coming, for many people, that original thirst to get here, that original drive was based on a premise, based on an idea that in America there was this land, there was this nation that would be a melting pot of individuals, where you would have individuals that would come together, and as they would come together, they would be able to pursue life and liberty. They would be able to pursue riches. They would be able to have freedom, freedom unlike any other nation on the face of the planet. And even today, that continues to hold true. Even today, when you look at the ancestry of where people in this country, where we come from and how we got here, we find some very unique realities. You can go, and most of the time, you hear people always nowadays refer them to themselves of Italian American or, you know, Polish American, German, yeah, whatever it may be, because when we look at the patterns from England or France or from Finland or German or wherever, from Norwegian, Swede, or from Mexico, there is a very interesting reality, and that interesting reality is that everyone came into this nation and had to go through the process of being assimilated, had to go through the process of bringing into play a mindset and a drive that would be consistent with what makes America, America. The one thing that everyone had to go through and everybody came to know and understand was a necessity of language, that everybody coming would learn the importance of language. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure some of you had the same situation. I've had friends who may have been Italian, may have been from Mexico, may have been from a lot of places, Germany, and their parents were fluent in their language, that they were able to speak the language. But in an effort to make sure that their children assimilated into the United States and to make sure that for whatever reason at that particular time there would be no connection back to where they come from, many forbid or many did not teach their children that particular language. And now we know that while it's great to have the English language as the language of the universe, at the same time it makes us so much weaker than so many other nations around the planet, where people have the ability to speak more than one language. And so this whole assimilation process and path that we see occurring is also part of a bigger scheme. mean, God himself, and we continue to reference the scripture because it has so much merit, when he said there will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, that there would be this hostile discontent, this hostile dislike, where the word talks about how we will always be in this perpetual battle, this warfare that takes place. And we experience it ourselves on an individual basis right in the confines of our own minds. Now, when we come back, we want to give a little contrast, though, to those that may have come here and they have a quick desire, they have an intense desire to assimilate into this nation. And at the same time, we want to talk about another group that when they came, it was not on the Mayflower. It was not in even a third class, you know, area on the ship, but it was in an area of the ship to where the very psychic, the very mindset of those people were affected, and we believe it's still part of this battle, still part of this wickedness that exists, and because it exists, we continue to have people that suffer from these post-traumatic stress disorders. And again, we see playing out all on our television some of the wages of the sin that was perpetrated on a people. Because the word teaches us as well that the wages of sin is death, that there's still no way out of that. We either have a path to life or the sins that we experience will cause us to entertain death eternally. We'll be right back. We want to start up.
I believe. I believe all my heart, these eyes will come true. I believe in rainbows. I believe the sun will. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? It's amazing to me, even though without wings I can't fly. I believe in miracles. I believe there's a light shining. There's a miracle inside of me. I believe in angels. I believe with all my heart, although I cannot see. I believe in miracles. I believe someday soon the desert will bloom. Have you ever heard a baby cry? Have you ever seen an eagle fly? It's amazing to me, even though without wings I can fly.
Stress disorders, we concluded that they're everywhere.
that we all have experienced them. And we concluded that because of the type of stress many of us may have come under, that oftentimes we find ourselves extremely dysfunctional. But see, we're dysfunctional sometimes without really have a cognitive recognition of this reality. We don't know that we are dysfunctional. We don't know that there could be a better way to treat someone. We don't know that it's not normal for you to want to hit your wife or your woman, your girlfriend, whatever you want to call it, upside the head. That we should know, even if it's a woman, that it's not normal. That we should begin to understand that when things like that take place, it's another expression of a misogynistic or hatred of women that exists as part of this enmity that God said that would exist in this world. And so we begin to look at this process. It means every day, constantly, all the time, that we find ourselves assimilating and becoming more like we should be in the kingdom of God, or we are assimilating or becoming more of what it would be like in the kingdom of the enemy. Now, let there be no mistake about it, that in this world that we live in, you know, this is Satan's domain. If it was not Satan's domain, why would it have even been necessary for us to read where it says Jesus, you know, was then tempted by the devil, that he was taken up on high places and asked what he was asked by the devil, that if he would do what the devil said, then Jesus would have these things, or he would have this dominion, or he would have the, if it was not his, how could it even be in the Word of God? See, sometimes things that are very simple, we sometimes miss. So we got to know and understand that without understanding and without coming back into a relationship with God, that we're automatically being part of a kingdom that is anti-God. And see, the other thing that we've got to come to understand is that man and man-made traditions and man-made organizations and institutions really cause us to miss the mark, cause us to not be or not become everything that we're created to become. Every particular denomination, every particular religious faith, everything you want to look at is another expression or example of the process of assimilation, to where you're looking to submit to become undermined and become one of the, for lack of a better term, committed entities to that particular philosophy and doctrine. That's the process. For us on the macro scale, it's coming into this nation, being American citizens. And look at today, the other way people come to this nation, so many risk their lives coming over from the Caribbean islands, some coming over from Cuba that risked their lives because they were in pursuit of what's known as the American dream. That when we see even now families coming over from Vietnam, starting their own businesses, you know, coming from the West Indies, starting their own businesses, people that come because they see and understand there is the possibility of improving myself in the United States of America. And that's what makes this entire process, this whole subject matter, so complicated, is that while we live in a nation where people today risk their lives to come to, risk their lives to be able to be part of this dream, yet at the same time, we live in a nation where it's history with the people sub-optimized and caused even today a group of people to probably not perform at the level God said was possible. Now, don't get what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We are a miracle. The mere fact that we can be on the phone tonight, to be in this broadcast chatting together, that's a miracle. The mere fact that we're able to have come and learn and assimilated and accomplished all of the things that have been accomplished, that's a miracle. Yet even though that's a miracle, we still suffer because we do not believe. That's why I chose that song. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible if we believe. And part of that belief process is actually beginning to know and understand who we are. I want to share this one example that we learned just this weekend. I hope Bruce and Tammy won't mind. I know they won't. They're mature enough. And what happened, a question came up. We were looking at the concept of how could a people change in appearance. And we mentioned in the past that J.A. Rogers, in the early 1900s, wrote several books. One of those books was called Nature Knows No Color Line. And in this particular book, he proved that all over the world, you could find traces and evidence that people of African connection, I'll put it like that, people of color have been involved in those particular nations all over the planet. As a matter of fact, he went on to prove that they had even been involved in what you call the presentation of their arms, meaning that the national and the nation's crest, the nobility and royalty, of that there were involvement even there. He then came out with three other books that he called Sex and Race, Volume 1, 2, and 3, where again he painstakingly goes and validates that in many places you had people contributing and making very valuable contributions to those nations that looked like you and me. And so when we was having this conversation, the question came up, how long would it take to change what a particular people look like? Meaning that if someone today was considered, let's say, an African-American, how long would it take that person or the lineage of that person to change to where there would be no evidence that that person was not of any African descent? And vice versa, how long would it take someone that may be of European descent for them to begin to procreate and ultimately then not even look like what they look like? Well, the answer came to me very clearly because I've seen it in my own family. Last June, I went to a wedding, and I'm going to get back to Bruce. I went to a wedding, and at that wedding, of course, my brother, some of you may know my brother Sam, and his daughter was getting married. And she was marrying a person of course European descent, and they have a child. And the child, I mean, you look at the child, a redhead child, you would see no evidence, none whatsoever, of any kind of African American strain, none whatsoever. And so you're talking about there in a very short period of time where if she then grows up, marries another European, there's just no evidence whatsoever. What's my point? My point is, let's get back to that Genesis 3:15, when God said there would be enmity, when God said that the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. See, where we miss it sometimes, I believe, is that it doesn't matter to Satan whether an individual that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy may be European, maybe American, maybe Hispanic, maybe he doesn't care because his plan doesn't change. And so when man begins to socially construct races and try to use them as a basis of separation in society, that's when men truly begin to miss it. I want you to get this, what I'm saying. See, at the end of the day, if we get someone to focus so much on the fact that they may be European or they may be African, they may be this, they may begin to miss the fact that the acts of Satan are going to be prevalent in both of those realities, based on the fact that when you procreate, when you come together, you're mixing up seed, that things are happening, that you could be confused as to who may be what. Give an example, getting back to Bruce. Bruce went and had his DNA checked. And when he had his DNA checked, it was almost like the brother that was doing all of this stuff on Africa, the Harvard professor, his name always escapes me, but in any event, when he had it checked, he was like 48.8% European, 48.3% African American, and some percentage of Native American, and then 1% of something, or just, for lack of a better term, mutt. But as I thought about that and meditated on that as well, I began to see that if I was developing the strategy and the marketing plan for the enemy, one way that I could bring extreme confusion would be to do what we know took place in wars all over this globe, that when conquering armies would come into societies, kill up the men, and impregnate the women. Think about that for a moment. So what then happens? You go in, you kill up the men, and you impregnate the women. And now what's that offspring going to look like? And then what's offspring then available? Because oftentimes, even in this country, when people came to this nation, they didn't always necessarily bring a wife. They didn't always necessarily come with a full family. And we know, again, historically, that there was an intermarrying. There were things that took place between Europeans and Native Americans, things that took place between European and slaves. And this is a reality. But even in the state of Mississippi, and I remember one time where 80% of the offspring were from the loins of white men. And so you begin to step back for a moment and look at this thing. We remember earlier when it had said if you had a drop of African blood or Negro blood or an eighth or whatever, then hey, it didn't matter. You were a Negro. But look at this way as well. How many, like they said, there was a book written, said they passed for white. How many, because of J.A. Rogers and others' work, that nature knows no color line, and that you can change what a person may look like on the outside by virtue of procreation strategies, how many then actually went on and they were of a lighter complexion, whatever, just like my niece, and they continue to move in that direction. And so them and all of their offspring, that's what they ended up being. That was it. Or vice versa, where if she had married, which is my sister's case, who turned around and married a brother, and then, of course, their offspring would look, more African-American. They turn around and marry, and so then that association from what may have been European is dissipated. So in my family alone, I could see it from both sides, to where just a generation removed from my mother, you could see the effects of what procreation does when it's theoretically this interracial situation, which is, again, a man-created social construct. Now, so I want to say, how does all of this work together? See, it works together in this sense. Jesus gave us the example. Jesus says, the enemy cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So if the enemy can steal your history, if the enemy can take away from you a reality or an understanding of who you are, you don't know who you are. He steals your history. When we look at everything we read about history, one of the things that invading nations would do, they go in and they destroy the libraries. They destroy the information. They try to annihilate all of the written records, because as an
invading, conquering power. They want to, again, get the people that are being conquered assimilated into their story, his story, his story. And so when you begin to steal from the consciousness, from the very mindset of a people, you're beginning the process of assimilation. You're beginning the process of saying that, that whatever you were in the past, whatever you may have been, at this moment on, you're going to be something different. And since you're going to be something different, what I'm telling you that you will be, or what I'm telling you is the truth, that's what you begin to be conditioned and brainwashed to receive. So then that's an example of stealing. But enemy steals, literally steals away your memory, just like he stole from Adam, you know, his guardship, his management responsibility. And then when you kill, you begin to then kill the drive, the in inspiration of a people. That if I steal from you the knowledge of who you are, and I begin to kill your ambition to know who you are, I begin to cause you to be afraid because you're seeing violence around you. And we can read about there were efforts from people, say, were there ever efforts for people in this nation to go back? There were. Some of us have read about Marcus Garvey and some of the things. Some of us have heard about the uprisings that took place in the Caribbean, in the Carolinas, and so on and so forth. But again, people were literally killed. Many of us have heard about the murders and hangings where we grew up in the state of Mississippi. More murders, more hangings, more people jailed than any other state per capita in this country. So you begin to steal, you begin to kill. And then when you do all of that, the ultimate result is that you have now destroyed a culture. You have destroyed a people. You have destroyed what God made rightfully theirs. Again, just like the enemy did when he tried to steal, what he stole, killed, and destroyed, what Adam's role and position was on this earth. It's a pattern that's repeated over and over and over again. And each and every one of us, we will have examples in our lives where we fell prey some way or another to the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying what God had put in place, what he had released as purpose in our lives. And again, all of this never from the standpoint of doing anything but to cause us to want to reconnect or to refocus, or, as Carter G. Woodson would say, to have an understanding of where we've come from and what's the value. Now, just for a moment before we go for our break to come back and want to hear from you all, put this piece in perspective even from the Word of God. We all know the story of Moses when they were killing Hebrew boys, you know, and he was theoretically supposed to have been destroyed, but of course was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and grew up in the Pharaoh's household, become one of the most learned men of Egypt. And you wonder, how could that be? Why in the world would, how could it be if there was some difference in the people? Then we know the story that after he murdered, you know, an Egyptian, and he ran into Jethro, Midianite, and they mistake him. They said he was an Egyptian, and he said, no, I'm a Hebrew. We know that story. And then some of us fail to remember that even Paul, when he was going to Rome, that instead of him being recognized as a Roman citizen, you know, he was recognized as an Egyptian. So all of these things have a meaning. All of them have a purpose. And I believe if we begin to just step back and reflect on really what Scripture tells us, we may begin to see emerge in our spirit a different understanding of why we are here in the first place. And I believe we're here on special assignment. We're here by divine grace and divine will. When we come back, I'd like to hear from you on your thought process on this concept of assimilation, because we're either going to assimilate and become everything that God ordained us to be, or we're going to find ourselves continually being deceived, continually being sucked into a path of destruction. And so when we come back, that's what we want to chat about, because you are assimilating each and every day, whether you realize it or not. That's what's taking place each and every day in your life.
We'll be right back. We worship. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to worship you alone.
Beautiful song, Love to Worship. And I know most of us always have a song in our hearts, something that we are always thinking about. And it's a beautiful, beautiful reality. I just praise God for that. Give him glory and honor for what he's doing in each and every one of our lives. All right, I'm going to have my queen. I'm sure God has given us some revelation. Your mic is open.
Well, good evening, Jesse, once again, and good evening to our listening audience. I just wanted to hone in just a little bit on the topic on this evening. I just thank God so much for who he is in each and every one of our lives. And I know a lot of us as Christians, as individuals who love the Lord and thank God for who he is in our lives, that we see life just slightly different than the average person. And I know for me personally, Jesse, even as I think back over what has been revealed even to us within our family, within my personal family over the last week or so through the DNA from our cousin Bruce Morse, and I thank God that for me personally, I prefer just to be called an American. I know so many times we are stereotyped as African Americans, we're stereotyped as Caucasians. There's, you know, so many other titles they can give to us, but what's so wrong with us just being American citizens? I really believe that when we're not placed in that broad category, it allows so many forms of racism and so many forms of prejudice to take place in our world, and especially in our United States of America. I know we see it more here than abroad, and maybe it's because it's more prevalent here than abroad. I think about even today, Jesse, as we watched the news together and heard of an incident in Flint, Michigan, and for those that are here on the line with us from the greater Michigan area, know that they are probably aware of this situation where we have a nurse that has been seasoned in her field, been there for many, many years, worked in the labor and delivery area where she was a nurse caring for babies. And because of the color of her skin, the father of a child that was there in the hospital at Hurley Medical Center put in the chart of it, said he wanted it put in the chart of his baby that he did not want any African Americans to care for his baby. And you know, it's so disappointing that we're still in this day and time of this world where there's so much prejudice going on. And I know if all of us take time, Jesse, to have our DNA performed, that we will all be pleasantly surprised on how much we have of a little of this and a little of that. And that's why I think it's just so important for us to be considered Americans. If we live here in America, we're Americans. And I thank God for who I am. I know so many times I get people come up to me that don't even know me, and some people that do know me still ask the question, what is your makeup? Who are you? What are you? And so many times I think out of defense, to African American. And when I look at reality, especially as I just seen recently in my family tree, that there's probably a whole lot more European in us than we give credit to. And as I thought about it even over this week, I think to myself that so many times we have a tendency to discount who we really are. And above all, I thank God that I not only can say I'm an American, but I am a child of God. And I know, I believe in J.A. Rogers that nature knows no color line. I know no color line, and I thank God that he has never placed in me any forms of prejudice based on color, creed, or anything else. And I'm just praying, Jesse, that we get to a point in time in our lives that we see no color, that we're all human beings. And it saddens our heart that in the 21st century, we still are experiencing such an ugly racism. And how could someone of such caliber at Hurley Medical Center in Flint, Michigan, even think about putting that handwritten note in the file of that baby? It doesn't matter if they're black or white or whatever the color, if they are certified to be a nurse to care for that child, they should be able to care for that child. And I am just disappointed in how all of these things, all of this prejudice and racism keeps resurfacing its ugly face. We, as the people, must continue to pray. We have a responsibility, as I indicated earlier, to come together in oneness, to be able to intercede for those individuals, such as this young man who unfortunately had some challenges going on in his mind for him to continuously think racism in his mind. Then I think of Jesse, even we looked at the news and we just seen a 2-year-old toddler on the plane with his mother who looked to be mixed, who looked to have a little bit of different races intertwined in him, as all of us do. And because a Caucasian male was sitting next to her, desired not to hear the baby cry, took it upon himself to throw out racial slurs of the baby, toward the baby, and then slap a two-year-old baby. These are the times that we're in that we need much prayer. These are the times when we know that there's so much prejudice and there's so much jealousy. There is just so much going on around us. If we don't open our eyes now, we're in a rude of awakening of what it can become. But we have much power. We have to use that power to intercede for ignorance, as we've seen in both of these situations that have caused from that have been caused through racism. But I just wanted to share that little bit because I know personally, even me over this last week, after I have gained so much knowledge and since then have sent out for my own DNA, because I would like to know also what my makeup is, because I know that it's more than just African-American. It's more than just white. It's more than just Indian. I know God has placed us in this situation so that we can embrace every race. And I thank God for that opportunity. I thank him for the love that he would give all of us to embrace so that we can rebuke all of these senseless crimes and acts and thoughts that come out of the minds of these individuals that are truly confused. So I thank God for how you've presented such an awesome lesson again tonight that we can all scratch our heads and say to ourselves, it gives us reason to think. It gives us an opportunity to not only think inside the box now, Jesse, but get outside that box and see how we as individuals can make a difference. I thank God for you. I thank God for the word. And I thank God for our listening audience on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate that. That's what we all want to evolve to as a nation, that we are simply Americans. Carter G. Woodson had a quote, though, that I think was pretty powerful, that, you know, he said that in our so-called democracy, we are accustomed to give the majority what they want rather than educate them to understand what is best for them. See, in a democracy, the thing that's best is that all of your citizens optimize their intellect and their God-given abilities, consistent with the Declaration of Independence. And when it's not self-optimized because of, you know, post-traumatic, you know, stress disorders, or because the psychic has been affected by man-made traditions that create a response to even things that have no basis in the sphere of physical science or knowledge, but is based on a conditioned, learned response that will cause a human being to be suboptimized. So in the end, I agree totally. We want to be at a point to where we truly are just ambassadors for Christ, that we are Americans, and that we are being used by God to bring people together. And when we do that, then this will be an even greater place for all of us to live. I'm going to bring another call on the line, 357-6156. Your mic is open.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. So good to hear the depth and the width of the discussion. Brother Jesse, and I thank praise God for your queen, powerful woman of God, Sister Tammy, that brought so much power to truth and in terms of the revelation to as well. And I think that that we have to challenge ourselves as comments that Tammy made and the comments that you made too as well. That we have to challenge ourselves to look beyond ourselves and to be able to have compassion and to be able to not allow the devices or the wiles, as the Bible says, the wiles of the devil, the enemy, to trick and to deceive us. And so in all of our getting, we have to get understanding, because if we look at where we are in postmodern society here, especially in the Western Hemisphere in the United States of America, that we, when we look at even in the Bible of the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman, you know, we could look at that, and that would probably be close to, very close to non-existent in today's, even in today's local churches as it relates to reaching out in terms of evangelizing and reaching out to the lost, despite what color of the skin that that person is or what their makeup or background may or may not be too as well. And I had, and it's so apropos that you all are having this discussion tonight, because earlier today I had lunch with a Caucasian, a brother in the Lord who happens to be a Caucasian. He loves the Lord, he's on fire for the Lord, him and his family. He's a Christian businessman here in the state of Georgia. And one of the things that, even as we were entering the restaurant, you know, and it's 2013, and we were out right outside of metropolitan Atlanta, that we got some strange looks. Even as we were entering the restaurant while we were sitting at the table, and whole nine yards too as well. And it was, you know, we both discerned it and picked up on it, and we just, you know, laughed it off, and certainly we pray for all those who were giving us all those looks. I mean, we just continued the conversation, enjoyed the fellowship. We got a chance to talk about the Word of God. We talked about politics. We talked about family. I mean, just a powerful, beautiful conversation too as well. And we just covered the whole gamut from A to Z in terms of different things that we shared and discussed too as well. And so I challenge everyone who's listening on tonight and everyone who will listen in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead to the archive broadcast from tonight's show to come outside, is what has been discussed, to come outside of our comfort zones, to move outside of those circles or areas of comfort, because so oftentimes we can stay in our own self-imposed infrastructures and miss a lot of ministry opportunities, one, and then just miss opportunities to be enlightened and to be empowered too as well. And so I just thank and praise God for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the admonishment of my upbringing from my relatives, and even with my wife today too as well, because even when I was looking at going to seminary, I initially went to all African American seminary school, and that was good, and it helped a lot and everything like that, and I praise God for that experience. But as I furthered my seminary academic matriculation, I thank and praise God that I happened to go to more diverse seminary school that had a diverse and robust student body and faculty and staff too as well, and to just be able to interact and to engage and to break bread and to study and fellowship and pray with people from all over the world. Matter of fact, even during my graduation ceremony, to be able to just sit on the row I was sitting on was so diverse. And just all of the things that was far more valuable than the cost of tuition for, you know, to pay for school and the books and all that stuff, that it was just a priceless, powerful enlightenment that I received to be able to move forward from there too as well. So I thank you. I thank God for you and for Sister Tammy I want to say this for me. This is for me personally, and some people may get offended by this, but sometimes we have to be challenged and called to the carpet so that we can stretch beyond to be able to go and do research and to be able to go and to look and to not get bound by technology, because technology, as good as it is, sometimes it can cause us to be intellectually shallow. And so to figure out the what, the when, the why, the where, and how, and everything like that, and sometimes that has to be a fire lit. And so sometimes that we can't move out of our comfort zones until there's incident that happens, or unless we are just pushed or poked to fire that's lit up under us to be able to do that. So I thank you, because on the surface, some of the things that if we just looked at the discussion on a surface level, there would be many things that on a surface level that a person listening in or just listening to bits and pieces of the discussion would pull and take out and dissect incorrectly, and then find reason to disagree or find reason to stay within their confines of conference or traditions or folk sayings or heresies and all those other kind of things too as well. So I thank you all for sharing the word of God with practical application, with truth, with wisdom, and then with patience and with love too as well. So, and I praise God for being able to listen in live on tonight too as well, in Jesus' name.
Well, amen. Amen, Dr. Hill. We praise God for you and your ministry. And we want to remind our listening audience that tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Dr. Hill will be right here sharing a word with you, powerful man of God. And we invite you to join him. And at 8:30 tomorrow night, Pastor Ken Fireson will be on sharing a powerful word. Wednesday, Reverend Willie J. Van, 8:30. Sharing a powerful word. Thursday, 8 o'clock, Minister Derek Jones. And if you all missed the blog talk from Saturday, Brother Eric Green this past Saturday brought a powerful word. I would encourage you to go back and download or listen to that particular presentation. It was extremely powerful as he brought a word. So we have many that are bringing a word on the blog talk. We want to encourage you to join them and listen at how God is moving in the lives of all of these brothers, ministers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, how God is moving. We're going to go to another phone call right now, all the way from the snowy land of Michigan. 761, your mic is open.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters. I was going to not say anything, but after that profound message from Sister Tammy, it just reminded me that a little over 200 years ago, we were a people where in slavery, our women, and in some cases, our black men were in the house, and they actually took care of the children. When a Caucasian woman had a child, she basically only gave that child the intellectual knowledge, but the actual rearing of that child and all of the things necessary, the bathing and clothing and feeding of that child was done by a slave. So it meant that it was a woman of color. And to think that we're in the 21st century and we have these type of occurrences that are happening. So I thank you for that information. But again, we have to look back. So we know that if 200 years ago we were slaves and doing those type of things, now that we have become certified and able to entertain and have the intellectual knowledge that is necessary now to so-called take care of a child, how would someone have such an attitude? The second thing that I wanted to respond upon was I have definitely been offended and Sister Tammy did not bring that up, I don't believe, but a child of color in the arms of a adopted a white mother that adopted that child. That what really has really I would say angered me to know that this man of age 60 would do that to a 2-year-old. Again, where we've come so far from slavery, and now to see that a Caucasian woman is taking care of a black child, whether he be completely black or be of mixed race, but for that man to do what he did, and then to say it out loud, and then to get more into the woman's ear and say those racial tones about that child, using the N-word. So, and as I looked at it this morning and throughout the day, and they asked the father what would he have done, and I know he hesitated a couple of times, and it may have been a situation where it may have even erupted into a violent act on that airplane. But I thank God that there was a U.S. Marshal on the plane, so that this lawyer is saying that his innocent, his client is innocent of these charges. But to have all of the necessary people and people that can actually support what happened on that plane. So I just thank God today that we live in a land and live in a time that we can hold our peace, but also remember our heritage as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well said, my brother. Well said. That's a shame that, you know, a person as Dr. Hill said, in postmodern society in the 21st century would hold such a strange position. But I will say this to you, brother. It hasn't only been, say, 200 years ago. It's even been less than that, that, you know, women of color took care of babies, white babies, Caucasian babies, European babies, whatever you want to call it, and midwives, and so many still do so today. And as nannies, as we know several personal that have nannies that take care of kids even today. So it has never stopped. And we also, as I see it, you know, one of the first nannies that, you know, we mentioned earlier that we read about in Scripture would be Moses' mother. That you know, so again, there's so much that's available to us when we open our minds and we're willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. So we have to pray for this 60-year-old person because they lost their way. And when you get to a point to where you can become so disgruntled, we know from Scripture that this is not a person that walked in the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't display love and joy, you know, and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, nor self-control. So we know right there what was going on in that case. So we pray for him because he needs prayer. And we pray for all of those who even today are motivated by this kind of reality. See, it's just like Carter G. Woodson said, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. And see, that goes on both sides of the table. If you can control somebody to think, feel, and believe that they have some kind of superiority that's not founded in the basis and the foundation is not the basis and foundation of God, then that's a man, regardless of ethnicity, who is out of order, who is on a path to destruction. And on the other hand, if you think about controlling a man's thinking as it had been from an adverse reality for so many of us that did not come on the Mayflower, then again, you are being used by Satan as a ploy to sub-optimize God's plan and purpose in the people. And so that's what we really want to get at. We're going to continue this dialogue even, you know, next week, because It's simply about us getting a better understanding mentally, spiritually, about who we are and what we have been created to accomplish. And I want to thank all of you tonight that shared your comments. We want to come back and continue to chat, because our purpose is simply to allow us to be more equipped to deal with some of these issues. Because, you know, one other thing, Curtis, that, you know, that hurt my spirit today was when I heard that in Jackson, that an 80-year-old woman was found dead, and they say that a 17-year-old young man had slayed her. And so, you know, we keep reading about these things, and they bring it so close to home. When I myself, you know, have a mother that's 81, and you wonder again about this dysfunctional activity of youth in general. You know, the young lady that is being accused of going across the country and shooting and slitting the throat of a young man after a night of extreme sexual activity. But that's what Jesus was talking about as we close tonight in that Matthew 24. And we got to know what time it is. We got to know that when God said enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, we have to know and understand that when that was said, I just believed in my spirit, deep in my heart, that we still are being deceived, because if we think that seed, the righteous seed that God was talking about, if we think it represents itself in the form of a so-called socially constructed race, then we have missed the mark, and Satan has us again. It's not going to be based on if you black, white, green, red, yellow, whatever. It's going to be based on what is the condition of your heart. When you get up in the morning, is the condition of your heart that you want to help your fellow man, that you want to love God with all your heart, and you want to love thy neighbor as thyself. If that is the condition of your heart, then I believe that you are part of that seed that God calls the righteous seed, that's who you are. And on the other hand, if you get up and you have in your heart malice and anger and wrath for anyone, especially for those that may be of a different ethnicity as it manifests currently in the flesh, then you need to pray and ask God to forgive you. Father, we thank you tonight for these men and women. We thank you, Father, for an opportunity to share together. And Father, we thank you for who we are. We thank you, Father, for what you've allowed us to become. We thank you, Father, for the ability to share in love. Never, Father, with an intent to arouse anger or to arouse anything that will cause people to go and harm another. But that, Father, through prayer, through study, through consecration, through dedication, through meditation, that, Father, we may bring a word that would allow, as Dr. Hill said, all of us to be challenged to become something broader and deeper, to be out of the box in what we pursue in this particular dispensation. And Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, because that's our express purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. As we leave tonight, remind us, Dr. Hill, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Pastor Fires at 8:30, on Wednesday, Reverend Willie J. Van, 8:30, Thursday, Minister Derrick Jones at 8 o'clock. I'll go back and grab that word from our brother Eric Green this past Saturday. We thank God for you tonight. We're going to leave on this particular one by.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing. be singing. Flowers won't grow. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? Save a world. To save a world. That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to run, you got to save the babies. Oh, the little feeling, you got to feel it. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save our world that is destined.